Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 36, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 8. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims of cunning work made he them. So
We're building a tabernacle about head of it.
Yes, sir. We're building a tabernacle.
No wonder I couldn't keep that way.
And we're right there.
Okay. Basically self-explanatory. I mean, the craftsmen are doing what they're told to do. They're making the various items. What you're going to find with this, and a lot of people overlook it or can get frustrated with it, is you're going back and forth. It's like it's a redundancy in one respect. In other words, first off, you see God telling Moses how to make this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see Moses telling the people how it's supposed to be made. And then you see the people making it, and it's just saying the same thing. It's just, you can see it as redundancy or reiteration. And to me, this book is full of principle. And you have to look at the principle and glean the principle. In other words, the thing that you're seeing here that so much emphasis is on is there to do it exactly like Moses has told him to do, like it was shown Moses in the Mount, not to deviate from the pattern. And the other thing that you see is that anyone who has the skill, who has the ability, it's been given to them by God. And so what you can glean out of that, anyone today who has skills, who has abilities, we can call it gifted and talented, you know. But the bottom line is everybody has some type of ability that God gave you, a wisdom that God gave you. And you don't ever want to get into this area where you think you're the self-made man or you're the self-made woman or, you know, I'll just get in here and plan this out and boy, I'll just do it my way. And you don't want that to be your story at the end of your life. No, we want it to be we did it God's way. And so these craftsmen, he's showing you when he starts going into detail, you know, they make this panel, they do it out of white linen, they embroider this and all that. He's just showing you that they're doing it like they were told to do it. And that's what you have to look at when you go along so you don't get bored. Okay.
You remember how we read all about the curtains and discussed at length in chapter 26. About these curtains, remember? Talked about the tabernacle and the dimensions and all that. And, somebody may need to hear this evening, or somebody on the camera may need to hear this. He reminded us just a second ago about the phrase of don't deviate from the pattern. Who's our pattern today? Does that expectation follow for us as well? Does it hold true for us? Let's not deviate from the pattern we've been given too. And so we can look at this and appreciate these people submitted to the instructions. God gave them the ability. And they did exactly what the Lord had them to do.
You know, sadly, one of the hardest things there is to do is to get people to follow the pattern. That rather than to follow the pattern, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, they want to follow men. They have their heroes or whatever. And I'm not saying you don't subject yourself. I'm not saying you don't listen and glean from people. But I don't care who you're listening to. You compare it to the Scriptures. You can't just take people at face value. Then you're not following the pattern. You don't know the pattern. And so you have to get in and see these things for yourself. And, you know, Heather and I were talking about how hard it is to get people to get into the Scriptures. And it's a hard issue. It's either you have a hunger for it or you don't have a hunger for it. And I can tell you this, that what you're hungry for, you'll feed yourself. You'll find a way to do what you want to do. And I can't tell you the people that have said, well, I don't have time to read. You know, well, I work. Well, believe it or not, I work too. But I worked secular work for many years before I went into ministry. And I read as much then as I do now, which was a lot. You understand? Why is that? There were many years of my life I didn't have time to read. Well, why was that? I didn't have any desire to. I wasn't hungry for it. I had passion for other things. Now, I'd make time for that. You understand? You stay up 12, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning doing what you like to do. But don't talk to me about reading the Bible, you understand? But then I find myself, after my life got turned around, thank God, that now you're wanting to read. You want to study. And the Lord had to deal with me about this because I was at the point to where I didn't want to be interrupted. I mean, just leave me alone. I've been told that I could live as a hermit. but I'll love to get into the Word so the Word can get into me. And then I was not like an interruption, and the Lord spoke to me. And He said, ministry, people. But He also spoke to me, and He said, if you don't have time for me, then you're going to have to readjust, you know. Actually, the way He said it is, when you're too busy for me, you're too busy. That's what He said to me. And so you have to get that delicate balance to where you're giving God time, but the whole purpose of giving God time is so God can use you to minister to people. You with me? There's a balance in all these things. And so, follow the pattern. You're going to find the pattern in the Scriptures. I'm not your pattern. My role is to point you to the pattern. And I strongly encourage you to follow the pattern. You with me? Okay. And so this is what's been, you know, emphasized here, when they start giving dimensions, like we'll see here in the next verse, they give dimensions. Well, we already had the dimensions. No, it's showing you that they didn't come up with their own. So often, and I found this, you know, I was in a position to where, you know, we would, I would be the one to hire a mechanic. And so often you find a person that they want to bring their bad habits on a new job. And the company I worked for was totally different than most places. They had their protocol, and they didn't care what you did. You followed their protocol. And sometimes I would just have to say, well, that's the way you used to do it. That's not the way we do it here. This is the way you do it here. Now, that's what God's saying. It's not what you know. It's not how you made it in the past. It's not what you built in the past. This is what God said, and this is the dimensions that God wants. This is the material that God wants. Use it. Do you understand? We'd do well if we'd cooperate with Him and let Him build His church with the material that He wants, rather than making all types of solicitation and getting things on site that you don't need. Wrong material. Right?
Yes, sir. Verse 9. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size.
They tell you 42 feet long, 6 feet wide. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, that's how they made it.
And he coupled the 5 curtains one to unto another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another.
I'll tell you something interesting about this. And I don't know how much time that we spent trying to figure out how these curtains worked with the dimensions, with the framework and the dimensions and all that. And actually, by going through these various chapters, you see something here that you didn't see. And finally, the light came on.
Yeah. It did.
It did, and
praise
you drew
God.
It out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, to where we could actually see that.
Yeah.
You stay with it. You stay with it. We're in something right now that's absolutely the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. It's the most difficult study that I've ever encountered. If you've ever studied the book of Ezekiel, when you get into this new
chapter
temple,
chapter 40,
it's hard. Work on one verse for an hour or two. You feel like you've been better off digging ditches all day. You know, is it worth it? Yes, yeah, worth it to know truth. He rewards you if you diligently seek. So, all this is not bad. It's, you just keep looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. And I'll tell you something that I do, and Heather does too. If they go in and start giving all these numbers, and this army this had this many, this army had this many, this army had this many, and then they give a total, we'll go in and see if that total is right. It just shows you the accuracy of the Lord. And then every once in a while you'll find something that it doesn't add up, and you say, now wait a minute, God doesn't make mistakes. Now where am I missing it? And you stay with it until you see where you're missing it. And it'll always be you missing it. You with me? So, that's what we're doing. We're just getting some reiteration here, right?
Reiteration. The other thing I see in this is, you see a pattern being developed. God gives a word, a command. Now we see here, they're following it. They're following it to a T. But we're going to find later on, as we keep reading through the Old Testament, God's given His word, and whoa, they're not following it to a T. And what happens? Bad news bears, right? God's not happy with them. The land even vomits them out. So, there's
we learned
a lot
something
of
about these 42-foot curtains, didn't we?
Oh, hey. If I want any help understanding the dimensions of the curtains and where they go, we got you.
We know that the linen's 42 and the other curtains were 45, and we know there was a reason for that 42. It's a spiritual principle that God shows us.
That's right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, we've already shared all that in a previous session.
Yes.
Righteousness doesn't touch flesh.
That's right.
Bottom line. So the white curtain couldn't get you right. The inner. You understand? And that's what I feel like the Lord revealed to me in that, is this is the reason that for the different height, the 42-foot length. And the 45 is just a covering. Righteousness is covered over it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't touch the ground. It doesn't touch flesh.
That's awesome. I don't remember where I stopped. Did we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Verse 11?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we are? Thank you. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the salvage in the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops he made in one curtain, and 50 loops he made in the edge of the curtain which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one another to held one curtain to another.
Now, let me tell you something about this. Here's another principle for Revelation to me. If you look at it naturally, that tabernacle was mobile, right?
Yes.
So it had to be set up, it had to be taken down, it had to be transported. So it was made in such a way that it was to be assembled, could be assembled and taken down. This part matched this part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the principle in this, the temple of God, the body of Christ, that we're mobile, right? And there's parts, members of the body that are joined. Each one has its own position. Some are looped and clasped together to where they're working as a team. You follow me? And then you have different levels. This has this function. This has this function. This has this function. And so all this is giving us insight if we don't just look at it as just something natural to, you know, build a model and go on your merry way. No, it's talking of, it's pointing to. It's pointing to. We're the temple of God. We're to be united. Love binds.
Yeah. It does.
It's the bond of perfection, right?
Yes, sir.
You go ahead.
And he made 50 taches of gold and coupled the curtains, one and two, another with the taches, so that it became one tabernacle.
Just, I mean, you just go and read all these if you will, if you'd like.
Yes, sir.
I'll stop you if I need to, okay?
Very good. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops upon the outermost edge of the curtain and the coupling. And 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which he coupled the second. And he made 50 taches of brass to couple the tent together that it might be one. He made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red and a covering of badger skins above that. And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. The length of a board was 10 cubits, and the breadth of a board 1 cubit and a half. One board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side southward, and 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north corner, he made 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under one board, and two sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards, and 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle and the two sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof to one ring, thus did to both of them in both corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver, under every board 2 sockets. And he made boards of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 boards for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold to be places for the bars and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen with cherubims made he it of cunning work. And he made thereunto 4 pillars of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast them 4 sockets of silver. And he made a hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and the 5 pillars of it with their hooks, and he overlaid their chapiters and their fillets with gold, but their 5 sockets were of brass.
You know, I was thinking, just like with the coverings, I mean, you obviously had your structure of shittim wood. If you look at that, and Heather and I spent a great deal of time trying to figure some things out with this as far as the thickness of the boards and things like that. These were not little half-inch boards or three-quarter-inch boards or two-by-fours even. I mean, these things are built to last. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about this, they were 40 years in the wilderness, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then the tabernacle wasn't set up until the second year. But even when they crossed Jordan and went over and possessed the land, once they possessed the land, that tabernacle was set up in Shiloh. God had that thing made to last. And I was thinking about the layers, the coverings, you know, and I was thinking about how, do you not know that your body is the temple of the living God? And how you have layers. You ever heard first degree, second degree, third degree burns? What is that? One layer, two layers, three layers? How this thing is pointing to things if we just pay attention. And also thinking about these boards, they're all made the same dimension. They all have that function. In other words, that temple, that tent, tabernacle. The 15 feet high, the 27 inches wide. These things are there, they're uniform. You understand? No board's drawing attention to itself. One board joined to another board. And then the covering, they have a brace going through the middle. They have the foundation underneath, the bases holding the bottom. And then the covering itself keeps the top of those boards in proper position when you think about it. And how all that is pointing to the body of Christ, to the church, and that we have to understand that we are the material. And the material is to be properly used. That material, the material has a specific place to be in that body. And I was thinking about how Ephesians 4, the King James Version says, by every joint which supplies, how that every member of that body, of the body of Christ, is supposed to be playing a role. It's supposed to be inputting, if I can say it that way. Okay? And so what happens if you leave one board out?
Mm.
What happens if you leave a curtain out? You understand? This is why we have to learn to unify around the Word of God. If we're looking at the same Word of God, and there's only one, and if we're following the same Holy Spirit, and there's only one, then we won't be setting up divided camps and all that type stuff. Even though we can be in different locations, we still be unified. We still be working. There's a role here. There's a role here. There's a role here. And we just have to find that place where we're supposed to be. And the Spirit of God sets the members as it pleases Him. God didn't ask the people how to build a tabernacle. He told them to do it like it pleased Him, right? And so that's what we have to do. We have to get everything in position as it pleases God. And learn to appreciate one another's giftings and abilities. You with me? Okay.
Chapter 37. This records the making of the testimony box, its lid with the cherubim, the table for the showbread, and all its accessories, the candelabrum and its accessories, the altar for burning incense, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. Okay. Verse 1.
What?
You ready for...
You're all the way through?
I read the whole thing.
You flew through that.
You said keep reading.
I've been sitting here thinking.
Oh, well, keep thinking.
Okay.
We'll give you time to think.
I was thinking about that west wall with the... It's interesting, you know, you have the north and south walls, those long sides. And then the west side is a wall. Okay. It's six boards, but then there's eight boards.
Oh, yeah.
It's only six boards wide, but the two end boards are doubled, where there's eight boards on the back.
Yes.
And so sometimes I guess you have to, that back side has to be covered. Do you understand? It has to be reinforced and all this type stuff. There's a lot of things you can see in all this. The bottom line is, God said, do it this way. They did it that way. But it doesn't stop there, because we're going to find that it all got inspected. See, we don't want people to inspect.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like that when I was in service. I did not like to stand inspection. But it's just one of those things you have to do. And they will scrutinize you. They'll tell you if you need to shave. They'll tell you if your sideburns are too long. They'll tell you if your uniform's in place or not in place. And generally, there's a price to pay if it isn't. You understand? Don't think you're just going to do it your way. God has a design for your life. Well, how do I find that out? Spend time with God. Not asking Him the design. Just spend time with the Lord, developing your relationship with the Lord, building that intimacy with the Lord, and design just comes in place. You don't have to ask. What you know to do, you do. I tell people doing the will of God is simple. It is so simple. Do what you know to do. You know to do it? Do it. At the end of your life, you will have fulfilled the will of God by doing what you know to do. When you don't do something you know to do, then you violated the will of God. And I can tell you it's the will of God to read your Bible. I can tell you it's the will of God to pray. I know that right out of the Word. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so as you do these, things unfold. And you fulfill ministry one thing at a time. One day at a time. You understand? The Israelites took the promised land one city at a time. Do what you know to do today. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's enough today to occupy your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So do what you know to do today. Now when tomorrow comes, do what you know to do today. You understand? It's always do what you know to do today. And when you do that, you fulfill the will of God. It's not as difficult as people try to make it. Well, I'm just seeking the will of God. What are you doing where you are? Do you think God's going to move you when you're not even doing what you're supposed to do here? You understand? People are looking for advancement and they're not faithful in little things. God promotes the people who are faithful in the little things. You want to know what the big assignment is? Do the little assignments. Or you'll never get to the big assignments. Okay?
You do the little assignments with a happy heart too, not begrudgingly. And all that, you know, it's the heart that's faithful to the Lord. And out of the heart, it'll be what you speak, what you do will proceed out of your heart. And so I can follow instructions and do it with a heart that's irritated or frustrated or mad, or I want to do it this way, but I guess I'll submit. And on the outside, everything may look hunky-dory. But y'all understand, it's all, everything, it's about the heart.
When the desire is strong enough, the discipline will be there.
Yeah, that's true.
You look at people who, especially in athletics, there's such a desire to be the star or whatever. And so they do whatever it takes. I think many years ago, thank God I'm not held up in all this now, but when Muhammad Ali, who was Cassius Clay to begin with, anyway, when he started out, he was such a force to be reckoned with, and he was very disciplined. And, I mean, he was dominating. And then, you know, after a while, you know, you win this, you win this, you win this title, you win this title, and he got slack.
Mm.
And he got disciplined, and he broke training, and he's carrying weight he doesn't need to be carrying. And he's still thinking that he can do what he used to do and not be disciplined. Some of these football players, they don't want to go to camp and all that. They don't want to do the discipline. And you look at what it did to him. It ended up costing him because he lost something. His desire wasn't strong enough. When your desire is strong enough, you'll do it. You'll make yourself do it. There was a time, I had a desire not to work on Saturdays, and I would work second and third shift. Not to work on Saturday on Friday, which was pretty dumb because you're going to sleep half the day on Saturday anyway. You follow me? So it's a desire problem. A person that's not disciplined, it's a lack of desire.
Mm-hmm.
And when that desire is strong enough, then you'll do what it takes. You'll discipline yourself. You'll bring that body under control. And that's the way it is with the Lord. When the desire is strong enough, I'll make that body get up. I'll make that body read. I'll make that body pray. You follow me? And so it all hinges on how passionate are we for the Lord. These guys, it's amazing how these guys had such a desire to do this perfectly. Just like the Lord said. But then after they get it built and, you know, everything gets in place, then they're not wanting to follow the commands of God. Isn't that interesting? We'll follow it here, but then we're going to do it our way. So many people, they get saved and they get, you know, they're very zealous at the beginning and just thank God that they've been born again, and then they get slack. They get caught up, cares of the world, taking care of business, doing this and doing that. And they lose that zeal, that passion for the Lord. You with me? And what happens? Well, church I grew up in called it backsliding. What happens? If you're not going forward, you are going backwards because everything else is going forward. You stand in one thing and everything around you is moving forward, you're going backwards, right? And so what do you have to do? Complain about the people going forward? Or did you start jerking the slack out of yourself and discipline yourself? Get your desire, your passion for the Lord. Amen. Passion for the Word. Time's up. We're going to have to stop here. So we'll jump back in here somewhere.
Okay.